Get up, stand up for your rights, folks. It's time to do that every week here on the Mark Steiner Show, and we're about to have a conversation that means with Rose Aguilar, host of Your Call Radio on KALW in San Francisco, our sister station out there, op-ed contributor to many journals, and joins us each week to look at folks getting up, standing up around this country. And Rose, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. There's so much going on this week.
Well, take us where you want to first. Just go ahead.
You know what? I think we have to talk about Emily Yates.
Emily Yates. We have some sound from that, but tell us about that first while they
pop that up. This is an unbelievable story. I just watched the video again, and I hope you post it on your site so your listeners can see this.
We will do that.
So on Sunday, on Saturday, 30-year-old Emily Yates, she's an activist with Iraq Vets Against the War. She's a banjo singer.
Been a guest on the show.
She was protesting a potential strike on Syria at a rally in Philadelphia's Independence Park. And park rangers approached her as she stood in an area that was apparently closed to the public. Now, I just searched her name, Mark, and you would think that a woman who served in Iraq, who was, I think, brutally arrested, would get a lot of attention. But she's really only getting attention in Philadelphia. I mean, she's getting a lot of attention online. But the national media has yet to cover this. So I found a story in the Philly Post. And they reposted the Department of Justice's criminal complaint against her. According to the DOJ, she was standing in an area that was fenced off with a bike rack. Apparently, law enforcement wanted to use that area to process evidence from marijuana possession. And in the video, the rangers asked her to leave, and she refuses and simply says, you know, why should I leave? And they don't answer her simple question. And then all of a sudden, male officers, pretty big guys, roughly grab her from behind without warning, slam her down across the wooden top of a park bench, and then several large men pin her down with her hands wrenched behind her back. They twist her arms, and then they place metal cuffs on her wrist. They arrest her. They place her on the ground, and then her friends didn't know where she was. They put her in federal lockup for 2 days before an arraignment on Monday.
And what happened?
Well, she was released from federal custody on Tuesday on a $25,000 bond. She was charged with resisting arrest, failure to obey law enforcement officers, and disorderly conduct. She was playing a banjo at a protest.
So
I mean, this woman, she's a small woman.
Yeah, I know. We've met several times. She's been on the air with us several times. And as a part of the Iraq Veterans Against the War. But let's play a little clip of this, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about this before we move on to the next issues that Rose is bringing to us.
Stop resisting. Stop resisting.
So before this happened, there were a piece in this that we didn't play, but if we have time, we'll kind of get that up to play, where she's actually asking the police, who are federal officers, park police, why she can't stay there, and there's no answer given to her. Well, what is the reason why they asked her to leave? Was there something illegal she was doing by standing in that particular part of the park playing a banjo?
Well, apparently, according to the DOJ report, I mean, this is amazing that this is a federal case. She was standing in an area that was fenced off. So basically, you're not allowed in because law enforcement said a bunch of people were smoking pot, and so they wanted to process the evidence there. And so they basically said leave. And, I think what people don't know, Mark, is – they could set up these, free speech areas. That's what they call them. I mean, this started during the RNC protest in New York in 2004, and I went to cover it. And it was kind of shocking to me because we would be walking down the street. I mean, I was, as a reporter with a press pass on. And at one point, about 10 cops in billy clubs came at me and said, "This, you cannot be here." And I said, "I'm on a sidewalk." And they said, "This is a free speech. You've got to go to the free speech zone," which was basically a cage. And if I refused, if I kept walking down a sidewalk, they would arrest me within seconds. So this is what's happening across the country. And I think it's important for people to ask, what are my rights? Rather than simply say, okay, I'm not allowed here. It's a public space. And when you ask a basic question, why do I need to leave? Which is what she did. These park rangers refused to answer her question and then proceeded to, manhandle her in a pretty scary way. I mean, as a small woman, to have a bunch of big guys slam you on a bench for no apparent reason. I mean, this is becoming the norm in this country, and we really need to start having a conversation about, what this means and why is this happening and how should people respond? Well, the other thing, Mark, she's got PTSD from serving in Iraq. And now she has to worry about raising $15,000 in legal fees.
Well, let's hope that some lawyers stand up to defend her, which should be happening in this case. And let's just take a very quick clip here of the beginning of what happened here. Is that no? Did you write that? I thought you just wrote that there. Okay, it's not there. Okay. Let's go to another place around the country. I'll let you kind of lead us here, Rose. I'm not sure which direction you want to go in. So why don't you just take us where you want to go next?
Well, I think we should talk about all of the protests to oppose the U.S. military strike on Syria, because unfortunately, this isn't getting much attention. In fact, a lot of people on Facebook are saying, where's the anti-war left?
Right.
Now, of course, it's definitely not as big as it was under the Bush administration, because a lot of people who protested what Bush did are giving Obama a pass. But a number of rallies have taken place across the country already. New York, downtown Cleveland, Portland, Buffalo, New York, Boston, in front of the White House. Code Pink expressed opposition in a silent protest as John Kerry was making a case for strikes. And United for Peace and Justice has a link showing all of the actions that are happening this week and next week. And Mark, the list is massive. I mean, there are protests happening, you name the state, all across Arizona, all across California, Colorado, Connecticut, D.C. There's going to be protests in your area next Tuesday at McKeldin Square.
Oh, yeah, downtown.
Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Kansas. I mean, there are actions happening across the country, and they're not being covered.
They're not being covered. And this is also something that goes beyond people who are on the anti-war
Mark,
movement.
Mark, did I lose you?
No, we're here. Can you hear us? Rose? Can you hear us, Rose? Let's see if we can get Rose back very quickly and see what's happening with our Skype. We'll get Rose right back. And these are happening around the country. The difference happening here is what I'll say to Rose when she comes back and say to all of you who can join us here at 410-319-8888 is that this is happening across America, and it's not just the anti-war movement or the left. There are people across America, I think, who are just tired of American intervention, and this is so – we just don't know how to respond here. As we talked about in the very first part of our program, we have Rose back. Rose, you there?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry.
Hi.
Any form we can get you, we got you. This is fine. Okay. Phone is good.
Okay. So we're using Skype, and you know how that is.
Yes.
But I don't know where you lost me, but there are so many actions across the country that are happening. I mean, you name the state, Mississippi, Michigan, Kentucky. People are taking to the streets to say, do not bomb Syria. And these actions are really not getting that much attention.
They're not. And I said, one of the things we've been doing in this program as well is trying to cover that, but also telling people, encouraging people across America to contact congressmen and senators, copy other people that you've been, and us that you've been doing this, and saying what you want to say to them. Because the overwhelming majority of Americans do not want Americans to intervene in Syria.
Right. Well, I'm looking at United for Peace and Justice, and I'd say there's probably at least 70 actions planned for this weekend and next week.
And as this is happening, other things are going on around the country. And you talked about two things that affect labor. You talked about Walmart workers had their longest protests since Black Friday strikes, which is, I have not seen covered in the news very much.
Right.
And Labor Day marches, rallying for higher pay that happened on Monday.
There's so much happening with labor. So Walmart workers in more than about a dozen cities protested treatment of employees yesterday. When workers went on strike in June, more than 70 people were fired and disciplined, and the group R Walmart set a Labor Day deadline for the company to reinstate these workers and end the pattern of violating workers' rights. Well, they didn't comply, and so they decided to protest. And, you know, this is slowly making it into the national media, but most of these workers earn about $8.81 an hour. They're asking for $12 an hour. This is a company that makes about $448 billion in annual revenue and $16 billion in annual profits. These workers are asking for 12 bucks an hour. About three workers were arrested yesterday in New York City because what they're doing, Mark, is they're delivering petitions to the board of directors of Walmart. And so yesterday they delivered a petition to Chris Williams. He's the CEO of an investment bank called Williams Capital Management. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Yahoo's CEO Marissa Meyer, who gets a lot of kudos from the feminist groups, is also a Walmart board member. And she has yet, yes, and I've called Yahoo many, many times to try to get her on the record to talk about the strikes, the sexual harassment lawsuits, how they treat women specifically. And they refuse to give a statement. In fact, to my knowledge, I don't think she has ever spoken out about Walmart. And so a number of protesters went to Yahoo's office in Silicon Valley to protest. A couple months ago, they were actually arrested inside the lobby of Yahoo. And, you know, she was on the cover of, I think it was Vogue magazine last week, not one mention of her being on the board of Yahoo, of Walmart. A lot of people don't know that she's on the board. So I think this is going to become massive. And I'm noticing that the media are having a hard time ignoring this because the fast food workers went on strike protested recently. It was the biggest strike in fast food history. The average age, and this is really important for minimum wage earners, is 35. We're not talking about teenagers anymore.
Right.
I mean, we briefly touched on this last week. But, you know, these workers are saying, I have to take care of my children, and I'm not going up on the ladder here. I need a basic living wage. Keep your eye on Washington, D.C., because the mayor there, Vincent Gray, is going to decide whether to sign a bill any day now, and it would increase the minimum wage there from $8.25 to $12.50 an hour. And Walmart says if the bill is signed, it's not going to open a new store in the area. I mean, anytime you want to raise the wage, they basically shut down. They are so adamantly opposed to giving these people just a decent wage. I mean, it's amazing to watch. But this is just taking off, and there's going to be, in Milwaukee, they're going to be looking at a living wage increase. This is happening across the country, and these strikes are just getting bigger and bigger by the day.
And people also think that this is, again, this is why this is so important to hear this, is because people feel they're isolated where they are, that these are just happening in Milwaukee, they're happening in Washington, nobody else is watching or listening, but they are. They're happening across America, not just
they are. You know, it's also kind of nice to see they're getting so creative. Someone just posted on Facebook in Raleigh, North Carolina, Walmart workers did a flash mob in the store. They also did something like this in Oakland last week. So, I mean, it's, you know, if you're on Facebook, I highly recommend following a group called Organization United for Respect because they post photos and they post pictures of people who put their lives on the line. I mean, when you're working at a place that's not union and you decide to protest or strike, you can easily get fired, and that's what's happening to these Walmart workers.
So we have about 3 minutes left or so in our segment, Rose. Where do you want to like to take us? To the Ogallala Nation? You tell us where you want to go.
That's pretty interesting. So the women of the Oglala Lakota Nation in South Dakota held a march on Saturday to shut down White Clay. Now, this is a tiny town. They've got a population of 14, but they have four liquor stores in this town of 14. They sell 13,000 cans of beer every day, mostly to the Oglala Lakota in Pine Ridge, to men on the Pine Ridge Reservation. They make $34 million in revenue annually. And the women have been holding protests on a regular basis to raise awareness about alcoholism. They want to shut this place down. And what they did this weekend is they blocked cars leaving White Clay. They marched in the town. They blocked entrances into these four liquor stores and said, you're basically ruining our area. You're ruining our men. 13,000 cans of beer every single day.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And so, it's incredible to watch this because it's a small amount of people, but it's a tiny town in a small area. $34 million is a lot of money. for alcohol sales. And these women say this town needs to be shut down because they're ruining the men in our area.
And there are, as you wrote about, the Native Americans in Wisconsin setting up camps to protect their land near an iron ore mine site. So these also are taking place across America. People we're not covering them. We're not letting people know that people are actually standing up in their communities.
We're talking about environmental destruction. People are standing up to these oil and gas and mining companies and say, in the case of the tribe, the Ojibwe tribe, I mean, this is a 4.5-mile-long pit that they want to build. And what they're going to do is say, look, we signed treaties with the federal government in 1837, and you cannot have this land, because they still use it for gathering wild rice and fishing and that kind of thing. But what's amazing about this, Mark, is this, it's called the Jojibic Taconite Company. They hired military guards from Bulletproof Security in Arizona. You could see the photos. These are basically guys in full-on military gear that are guarding this mine. I mean, there's a lot at stake here. And a Republican-sponsored bill in Wisconsin would allow this company to prevent public access to the mine site unless a state permit is approved. So they're basically trying to make it illegal for this tribe to protest.
Rose Aguilar, we will post all this on our website, thesteinershow.org, and all the links you talked about for people to go watch and see. We will have to extend this segment. It's much too short. We have much too much to talk about. Rose Aguilar, host of Your Call Radio on KALW in San Francisco, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Mark.
Get up, stand up for your rights, folks. Every Friday here on the Mark Steiner Show with Rose Aguilar. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll be meeting some young people from Mexico and the streets of Baltimore, united to save their lives and their communities.